puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And the first Abandoned Manitoba of August, the August long weekend, is here. And that means we welcome Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce. Boy, yeah, where's the time going?
I don't know. Summer's half over. We'll see. Not feeling great about it. But what are we discussing this week?
Well, every so often here on Abandoned Manitoba, we visit towns that have an especially large number of heritage buildings. So far, we've been to Verdun and Manitou. Today, we're talking about some real architectural beauties on the streets of Carberry.
Carberry, Manitoba. French fries and Richard Burton.
I didn't know that.
Richard Burton, apparently, if I remember correctly, was a pilot instructor, Air Force instructor.
Oh, during the Second World
War. World War II. Oh,
okay. It's starting to click here. Yep.
Hollywood royalty, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, fries, French fries. So I recall you had a list of towns here in Manitoba that were ranked by their heritage or architectural heritage. Where does Carberry rate there?
Well, my list had 122 cities and towns around Manitoba, and I ranked how many heritage buildings they had relative to their population. Obviously, bigger towns would likely have more buildings,
right,
and vice versa. Well, at some point, we will talk about towns with the lowest rankings. I think that's kind of interesting. But for now, we're going to talk about some of the top ones,
okay,
but not the overall top one, Balder. Carberry stands at number 12. But that doesn't mean it's poor. And in fact, Carberry has a distinct record that no other Manitoba town can match.
All right. What was that?
It's the only place outside of Winnipeg that had a designated heritage district where buildings were, in theory at least, protected from unsympathetic renovation or demolition. Now, Winnipeg, of course, has its Exchange District.
Right.
It has Armstrong's Point and Crescentwood. Well, Carberry had two blocks along its main street where there were no fewer than 34 buildings designated in 2007 as historically significant.
Yeah, you said had two blocks of heritage buildings.
That's
and
right.
And there were 34 buildings,
that's right.
Yeah.
Past tense. Because the heritage designation was revoked 2 years ago in 2022. And since then, two of the 34 buildings have been torn down.
Why did that happen?
The reason given for the withdrawal of the heritage designation was that owners of the designated buildings found that their insurance costs increased markedly. As for why two of the buildings were demolished, I don't know. I haven't been in party to the discussions that took place, so I don't know. The first of those buildings was the one-story Stickle Block.
Not the Stickle Block.
The Stickle Block, born about 1900 by grocer Dwight Stickle. The building's facade was modernized through the years, and it kind of reflected a sort of a 1940s vibe. It hosted a clothing and footwear store known as the Style Shop, but it was demolished in 2021. The other loss was a three-story brick and stone building constructed in 1901 as a branch of the Union Bank of Canada. The building was later a branch of the Royal Bank and still later the Bank of Montreal. In 2008, it was described, and this is a quote, as the centerpiece of the Heritage District. Unfortunately, that centerpiece is no more, having been deconstructed last year. And by the way, we talked about the process of deconstruction here on Abandoned Manitoba. It's where a building is taken down slowly and carefully so its materials can be reused. And this is, of course, a better outcome than simply carting it all out to the landfill. But it's too bad that this beautiful building is now gone.
The centerpiece, yeah. Why does heritage designation mean higher insurance?
Well, some insurance companies seem to think that if a building is designated as historically significant, it's a greater risk. Because if it's damaged, it would have to be repaired to a higher standard at a greater cost.
Right.
Now, my friend James Kostichuk encountered this problem with his home in Portage-la-Prairie. His home was built in 1887, and James's home had been listed as a heritage home. And his insurer consequently jacked up his premiums. Now, he disagreed, and he changed his insurer to one that understood that heritage designation does not necessarily change a building's repair costs, especially when there's grants available to designated buildings that can, you know, compensate for what might be additional cost. Under this new insurer, James's insurance costs did not change. But his case is a disturbing illustration of how owners of heritage buildings may be taken advantage of by uninformed or unscrupulous insurance companies unless the owners stand up to them. And that's what James did.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, back to Carberry. What are some of the highlights of the surviving buildings?
Well, we don't have time to discuss them all. So if people want to see a full list along with details about them, I would encourage them to check out the Manitoba Historical Society's interactive map of historic sites, mhs.ca/map2. But I will mention six of my favorites, starting with the Gardner Building. It hosted a harness repair shop for many years. We don't know exactly when it was built, but I love it because it was made from locally made concrete blocks. Mm. As longtime listeners know, I am enthusiastic about concrete block buildings that mostly date from the period from 1905 to 1920. So the Gardner Building, it was likely built in sometime in that period. Today, it hosts the Seton Center, a museum, art gallery, and gift shop named for naturalist Ernest Thompson Seton,
who I believe founded or co-founded the Boy Scouts of America.
Right you are.
Okay, other favorites?
Well, around 1941, a small building with attractive red awnings was built to house local circuitry and operators of the Manitoba telephone system. It was a telephone exchange building.
Yeah.
Another building from around the same time is sort of an Art Deco-style post office that today hosts the Carberry North Cypress Library, and it's in its basement, the Carberry Plains Archive. Just down the street a little ways, we have the Nelson Butt Building that dates from around 1896, but it's actually named for a jeweler, Nelson Butt, who occupied it from 1946 to 1992. In fact, after the Heritage District was announced, the owner of that building got a grant to assist with restoration of its front facade, made of some really a very attractive red bricks, and it's a beautiful building. The one-story former Municipal Hall, which dates from 1907, is also a real highlight of Main Street, and at the very south end of the street, on a strategic spot near the original railway station, we have the Nelson Hotel. That's three stories tall, still a hotel and restaurant, but its brick facade has been covered by stucco. And this isn't ideal, but at least it's still recognizable as a heritage building. Several other buildings on Main Street are over 100 years old, but they're kind of hard to recognize as such because they've had rather modern-looking facades applied to them. I'd like to think that someday those facades will be removed to reveal the beauty underneath. And there's several other beauties around Carberry, so I do encourage listeners to stop by and walk the former Heritage District. You know, though no longer formally designated, it's still very much worth a look.
How about other parts of Carberry that aren't in the Heritage District?
Right, and there are lots of other very nice-looking buildings, some nice-looking homes, for example, and two that really stand out for me. One is the two-story brick building on 4th Avenue. It was formerly a sash and door factory and later a machine shop. But as of 1976, it became home to the Carberry Plains Museum, the local museum, and it's wonderful. Right next door is a spectacularly beautiful brick residence, at least I love it, known as the White House. Not the one, of course, where the U.S. president lives. Hmm. This one was built by the owner of that sash and door factory, a fellow named James White. And it's now part of the museum, too, so you really got to check out that museum and say appreciate both of those buildings.
Interesting. So that's the heritage of Carberry. So you mentioned Balder was number one.
Right.
When are we going to talk about that?
We will talk about it before the end of the summer. Yeah. Meanwhile, we do have so much to talk about in the next few weeks.
Really? Okay. Well, what's up for next week?
Well, listeners may recall that 2 weeks ago, I had an adventure driving with a group of antique cars along what was known as the Sunshine Highway. We had a great time, and next week, I'm going to share with our listeners some details about our experience.
Can't wait for that. That'll be great. Thanks for coming in again today, Gordon, and we'll see you then.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.